Welcome to Empower Talks, the podcast where empowerment takes center stage. No fancy edits, no scripted conversations, just real and authentic discussions. I'm your host, Christina. Join me and amazing guests who are generously sharing their insight to inspire and uplift. Empower Talks is more than a podcast. So join us because it's your catalyst for unleashing your inner awesome. What up, y'all? We are back to another episode of Empower Talks. I am excited, especially, you know, I'm excited about every episode. So this is exciting, though. But this episode, it's a little bit closer to the heart because at the end of this month, I will be releasing, and you know, I never do a plug, so this is not a plug, but we're just for context, everyone, context. I will be releasing a children's book called Let's Talk About the Bible. And for me, I figured what better place to start with the Bible than the first book. So this episode, we are going to be talking about empowering through the book of Genesis. And I figured what best place to start than none other with Answers in Genesis. And I'm excited because our special guest with us is Dr. Tim Chafee. He is the author and content manager for the Attractions Division of Answers in Genesis. It is amazing. So, Empower Talks, I'd like to introduce you to our special guest. Drum roll, please. Dr. Tim Chafee. Woohoo!
Hey, Christina. Hi, those are
my homemade drums.
Oh, it sounded nice. Well, great to be with you today. And congratulations on a children's book. That's really exciting.
Thank you. I am very honored. I'm trying to get to your level with all of your books, which I know. Listen, I have been doing my homework. I made sure. So yes, I'm trying to get to your level of books. This is exciting. From the Chronicles and everything. I know you speak at churches, museums, camps all over, not just an author or the content manager for the Attractions Division. So woohoo.
Yeah, you know, I'm really blessed to have those opportunities when you love what you're doing, whether it's the writing or the speaking, or, you know, I tell people I never have a Monday. When I get up on Monday morning, I don't think, oh, I got to go to work. I get to go hang out with people that I love hanging out with and do what I love doing. I get to study the Bible and history and science and then write about it. And I just love doing it. So I'm super blessed. And the books, they do take a while to write, but it's so rewarding, especially when you hear from people how maybe their faith has been strengthened, or even, you know, somebody giving their life to the Lord or something. You know, praise God. That's why we do what we do. And so just very blessed to have the opportunity to do that.
Yes, that's exciting. And all God gets all that glory. And Amen. That's incredible. I'm excited. It's funny. We ordered some of your books so our son can read and get through it. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it.
Sounds great.
Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you again for being here. Now, I wanted to touch base because Answers in Genesis, I had never heard about it. But from what I know, Answers in Genesis is more than a creation evolution ministry, correct? Can you explain?
Yeah, so what we really emphasize is we're a biblical authority ministry. Like, our goal is to get people back to the Word of God in every area of life, and in every part of the Bible from the very beginning to the very end, it is true. But we do have an emphasis on Genesis 1 through 11. So we say we're a biblical authority ministry with an emphasis on creation apologetics, because so many of the issues we face in our culture today go right back to that foundational part of scripture. When you look at the issues concerning marriage and gender and all those things, that, you know, we don't have to get into those issues, but if you go right back to the beginning of Genesis, you have the answers to those things and so many other issues facing our culture. If we would just take God at his word, we have the solution.
Yes, it's very true. I actually touched about that. It is. I love it. And it's when you say apologetics, because can you define that word for me, please?
Yeah, it actually comes from a Greek word that appears several times in the New Testament. Most people think about 1 Peter 3:15, where we're told to be ready to give a defense or to give an answer, depending on your translation. It's from the Greek word apologia, and it just means that you're giving a defense, essentially a defense of the Christian faith is what this has to do with. Now, some people focus just on one area of the faith. Some people focus just on the gospel or the historicity of Jesus. Some people focus on the Bible being true all the way through. There's different areas of apologetics, or, you know, Christianity, mm-hmm. vis-a-vis the other religions of the world. And so there's a lot of areas of apologetics, but it all has to do with defending the Christian faith.
I love it. It's funny. I hear about it so much, But it's exciting when you get to hear from someone who has their doctorate or they're in Answers in Genesis and this is what they do for their life. So it's really awesome. Now, Answers in Genesis, they're the founders there, they were compelled to build, which I'm really excited because you're going to talk about it because this is what got me excited, which all other stuff that they do is awesome, I'm sure. But there are amazing popular attractions, which are the Noah's Ark, the Creation Museum. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Yeah, the Creation Museum was really the emphasis of the ministry. That was what our CEO and founder, Ken Ham, when he moved over from Australia, his dream was to build a Creation Museum. There's museums all over the world in every major city that are, you know, really devoted to most of the time to like an evolutionary worldview and undermining the authority of Scripture in doing so. And so his dream was to see a Creation Museum being built. And that came to fruition in a Memorial Day weekend of 2007 when the Creation Museum opened in Northern Kentucky, just a little bit west, about 5 minutes west of the Cincinnati airport. And once that opened and we saw that it was self-sustaining and how many people were excited about it and wanted more, then we started making plans for the Ark Encounter, which is full-sized, I'm going to say replica, but don't think that we had the exact plans of what Noah did with his ark. We don't know exactly what it looked like, but a full-scale ark built according to the dimensions in the Bible. And we opened that in July of 2016. So we're coming up on 8 years of the Ark Encounter. We get about 1 million people a year coming through the ark and about half of that going through the museum each year. So it's very exciting. And my role there, my primary role, is as the content manager for both places. So that means that I'm writing or overseeing the writing of all of the exhibits that we have in those places.
Wow. That is incredible. And shout out Ken Ham, because you are awesome. If nobody's told you today, you are awesome. I hope you know that. Had to shout him out. It's exciting. Dr. Well, Tim,
he's got an awesome accent. I'll give him that too. No.
See, yeah, he's awesome in my book. Listen, had to shout him out. So that is exciting.
Well, I genuinely appreciate him. I can definitely say that.
Oh, well, that's good. That's good. Yeah, that's appreciation is good. That's exciting. Yeah. And wow, so 510 feet long based on the dimensions of the Bible. That's incredible. I read it has like three decks. And yes, I'm going. Our family and I, we are planning a trip. So we are going. But what was that project like taking on and having to write for it and do all that stuff?
It was really big. I remember in early 2013 when they announced that they needed somebody to be the content manager. And I thought that would be really a cool job to do. And within a week, I was in the office of the two guys that were heading the project saying, and they were telling me, okay, we need you to start on Monday to start doing this. I thought, really, that's going to be me. I get to be the one to do that. I never imagined that I actually would get to. And so I worked with the team of designers and the graphic designers on every exhibit. I was involved in developing the content, and I have had an assistant who helped me all the way through. He kind of focused mostly on the animal related things, and I covered just about everything else. And it was such a tremendous adventure. I remember when I was thinking about accepting the position, which I was very strongly inclined to do it anyways, but I thought, can I really spend like the next 3-4 years of my life just focused on Genesis 1-9? You know, because I like to study all of the Bible and write about it. And then I thought, well, I would be a fool to turn this down. I mean, who else gets to do this? Out of everybody in the world, I'm given the opportunity. What a great privilege and opportunity. And the team I work with, they're so tremendously talented. The artists and designers and fabricators, you know, the people making the exhibits, and they all have the same goal. We want to serve the Lord with the talents and gifts that He's given us. Yes. So it truly is just an absolute blessing to be part of it. And then to see so many lives changed and impacted and people excited about, you know, seeing the Bible brought to life. It's really like a dream come true. Sometimes I pinch myself that this is what I get to do.
That is incredible. I'm glad you took the job, because listen, if I had known about it, I probably would have been knocking on the door. I'd be like, I'll go get my master's, my doctor, let's go. That is awesome. That is exciting. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's wonderful. So, man, I get excited. So what's the latest with the Creation Museum? I understand that, you know, like you said, you've opened 10 years ago and there's bigger crowds, striking new exhibits. What's the plan? What's going on? What's happening coming up?
Yeah, so the museum was actually almost 17 years ago, so 2007. And ever since we opened the Ark, the attendance at the museum has gone through the roof. And it wasn't originally built to handle as much traffic as we're getting right now. And so we've had to go through and redesign about half of the exhibits so far, where we are either renovating or building new exhibits. And we've got new stuff going on all the time there. In the past couple of years, we've done an exhibit called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. That is, it's extraordinary. If you see the little models that our team has made of the human life developing in the womb and the 4D ultrasound and all the other technology that's in there, it's just, it's such a beautiful exhibit, and celebrating the fact that human life from the moment of fertilization is made in the image of God and therefore is precious and sacred and worth defending. And then we had another exhibit that opened a little bit before that called Borderland, which is Israel in the time of Jesus. So we're essentially like a New Testament background course. If you've ever come to the New Testament, you're like, who are the Pharisees and the Sadducees and why are the Romans there? And all these different things. It gives you that 400 years of history from the time of the Old Testament closing up to the start of the New Testament, and helps you understand that world so you can better understand the New Testament. So those are a couple of the new exhibits there. Our next one that we're working on right now is to address the gender issue. That's such a a hot button issue in our culture, but to do that in a very sensitive way. It's our first exhibit that's kind of geared toward a younger audience. Like, our target age is more of like the 12-year-old, because they're the ones who are really facing that in our culture. So to help give them and their parents the proper tools to think properly about this issue, but to do it in a way that shows, as I mentioned with the Fearfully and Wonderfully Made exhibit, all human life is made in the image of God and therefore is precious. And so even people who we would strongly disagree with on these subjects, they're still made in God's image, and we want them to know their creator.
That is awesome. Yeah, I actually have a 12-year-old, and it is very funny because he's definitely my child. He's definitely my son, but he started the Kingdom Club at his school. So he is on fire for God. And it's awesome. Funny because in their school, they talk about gender. They talk about all that stuff. And I'm like, listen, all I can tell you to do is you love people, you respectful, but you stay firm in God's word. Yeah. And I'm like, how it comes, I was like, we will get more people and we'll get sharper and better as we go. But as long as you're loving and respectful. So I am excited to see that.
You know, that's so important because, you know, Jesus said that all men will know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. And, you know, he commanded us to love our enemies, to love our neighbors, to love one another, as I just mentioned. That kind of covers everybody. And that's what we're called to do. And too often, I think Christians think, well, if I speak the truth, that's loving. It's, well, it can be and it should be, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're always doing it in love. And so we are supposed to speak the truth in love and with a genuine concern for that other person that you're speaking to.
Yes. I feel like sometimes a lot of people in a lot of ways, even in today's world, that can get lost, the love part. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that I grieve when, if ever I hear somebody arguing, I'm like, this is nothing to divide about in a sense of, it should never cause hatred. If you're a believer of Jesus and a follower, there shouldn't be hatred being spewed out or coming out. It should come from a place of love.
Right.
And you can still share the truth in love. That's where it comes from. So I am so excited to come to Kentucky. I didn't think I've ever said that before. I am so excited to come to Kentucky. So speaking of that and genders and evolution, all of that fun stuff, does AIG deal with, you know, issues outside of evolution and creation?
We do, because, you know, like I mentioned before, we're a biblical authority ministry. So really, if anything related to what you could say is like an attack on God's word, generally we'd be interested in addressing those things. So we have a program that we call Answers News that runs just about every Monday, sometimes because of holidays, it might be on a Wednesday or something. But we have three of our researchers looking at six news items from the previous week. And those can be social issues, they can be scientific issues, it might be archaeology, you know, so it's not necessarily just the creation evolution thing. It's like, well, here's, the Bible said this took place in this place in Israel. Well, guess what they just found in Israel? The exact same thing that you'd expect to find. And so we cover issues like that as well.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. And then I know actually, I'd love your opinion on this. How is the church doing in general when it comes to, especially because, you know, I figured what best place to start with the Bible than in the first book in Genesis. So how is the church doing in general when it comes to accepting biblical authority and accuracy regarding Genesis, the Bible's very first book?
Well, I wish I could give you a different answer. Sadly, I don't think the church does very well in this area. I'm not one that wants to criticize the church heavily, because I think that, as we talked about before, we're supposed to love one another, love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And sadly, there's a lot of people who think that Genesis is just kind of irrelevant. It doesn't really matter. They'll never, you know, pastors won't preach on it. So they just don't really talk about it all that much at all. So people don't understand the importance and how it is relevant to pretty much everything we do in life. And it's foundational to the rest of Scripture. So I think a lot of churches don't recognize the importance that way. And then you have other churches and quite a few Christian leaders who will actively undercut what is taught in Scripture, where they'll say things like, well, you can add the millions and billions of years. It doesn't really matter because it fits in perfectly with Genesis 1. Well, it doesn't. No matter what you do, no matter how you try to harmonize the prevailing views in science, and I don't say science because science doesn't say anything, but what a lot of scientists are saying, you know, the majority of scientists believe in the billions of years. If you're trying to harmonize that with the Bible, well, that view, no matter which view you have, you always have the sun before the earth. The Bible says the earth was made before the sun. You have death and suffering and disease going on for hundreds of millions of years before Adam comes along. And then yet the Bible says those things are here because of Adam. And so you can't put the two together without altering one of them. And what people will always do is alter Scripture to try to fit man's ever-changing ideas about the past, and they weren't there. These are, you know, people making educated guesses about the past, but they're usually starting from a philosophy that says God didn't do it, or if he did, he just kind of started it and stepped back from it, rather than just looking at what he says in his word, and that is, he spoke and it was done. God said, let there be, and there was. And the order of events is pretty clear in Genesis 1. Jesus affirmed Genesis 1 and 2 when he talks about divorce and marriage, and he says, haven't you read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? That means Adam and Eve were made at the beginning, but if you got billions of years before Adam and Eve, they're not at the beginning. So it's very difficult to see how you can say that you take the Bible as your authority when you're adding these other man-made ideas on top of that and interpreting through that lens.
I'm processing. I love it because it's.
Yeah, well, and I want to be clear. I'm not saying these people are not believers in Jesus Christ. Of course, they can believe the gospel and be saved. But why not? I mean, if we're trusting him in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, why don't we trust him in Genesis and just be consistent in how we interpret Scripture?
The whole Bible. And what is the most asked question you receive about the book of Genesis?
A popular one for us would be, and it's not specifically about Genesis, but the answer goes back to that, would be about dinosaurs. You know, were there dinosaurs on the ark, or did dinosaurs and man ever live together? Or you get things like, how can we see light from stars that are billions of light years away? Or, you know, who was Cain's wife? We get these kind of questions all the time. And so we've actually got a series of books called the Answered Books to deal with those. But a dinosaur is a popular one, you know, especially since we built the ark. People are, why would you have dinosaurs on the ark? Well, dinosaurs were land animals. They were made on day six, according to the Bible. And as long as they were still around when the flood started, then they would be part of the two of every kind that needed to go on board the ark. And when we look at the world out there, you know, a week from now, I'm going to be, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to be getting into a raft and starting a 9-day trip down the Grand Canyon, down the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon. And I'm going to see these rock walls a mile high. All of these layers and everything above what's called the Great Unconformity have fossils in them. These are all things that were laid down during the flood. Well, we find dinosaur bones in those layers that were laid down by the flood, meaning that they were alive at the start of the flood. So they would have had to be on board the ark. So that's why we put them on there.
That's exciting. My son is going to be so excited to hear your answer. Just letting you know. So you're going to have 12-year-olds listening to this. They're going to be so excited because he does. He's asked my husband and my son love to debate. In the house, our house is full of biblical debate all the time, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So it's very funny when you hear the 12-year-old. And I like to say he can go up against, you know, most adults. It's pretty fun in the house.
My daughter was the same way. I mean, she, from a very early age, she really thought through a lot of issues. When she learned the Ten Commandments, maybe at 5 years old or 6 years old, she asked her mom one day, "Mom, what happens if your parents tell you to murder somebody?" Because honor your father and mother and shall not murder. That's pretty deep thought from a little kid.
That is. I'd love to hear your wife said, "Well, that's a sin, so we can't do that."
Right.
Yep. Oh, I love it. The kids are amazing. And you know what? Shout out to your wife and your family, because all that you're doing and all that you've going on, I know, listen, the Bible says, "He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing." So
yeah, amen. I'm very, very blessed in that I married way up.
Yes. See, woohoo. Shout out to the wife and family. Woohoo. I'm always team wife. Love it. Exciting. So can you, and I promise I won't take up too much of your time because I know you're busy and I know you have a lot going on, but where can we find more information about Answers in Genesis, the Ark Encounter, and Creation Museum?
Yeah, great question. So Answers in Genesis is the parent ministry behind both of those attractions. And we have a website, a very, very well-trafficked website with thousands and thousands of articles on there and videos and other teaching. That's just answersin.org. And then you can go to, for the Creation Museum, you can look at creationmuseum.org. And then the Ark Encounter is just arkencounter.com.
That is awesome. And are there any, do you have any, can I ask for the secrets? Do you have any upcoming projects that aren't listed on the website or anything that you can share?
Yes, I can. In fact, the one that I am super excited about, and I already have favorite exhibits in mind, like the ones we've done before. I'm like, okay, this is my favorite 1A, 1B, 1C, because there's some of them that are so good. But the one that I know will be my favorite is the one my team is working on right now. I mentioned there's one at the museum that we're building that is on the gender issue, but the project right beyond that is a huge model of first century Jerusalem from the time of Jesus. So around AD 33, to give people an idea of what that city would have looked like at that time, it would be the most accurate model of Jerusalem anywhere in the world. Yes, we've been to the one in Israel, and yes, we know about the one that used to be at the Holy Land Experience down in Orlando. A lot of times people are like, "Have you seen this? Do you know?" Yes, we know those things. We've been doing the research for several years now, work with a team that is very, very interested in digging into, pardon the pun, but all of the archaeological excavations, all the reports where we've been consulting with experts in Israel. In fact, four of us went over there almost 2 years ago now, and met with a lot of the experts, and we're doing our homework on it, and it will be spectacular. And I get to develop all of the teaching content that goes with it. So I'm so excited about that. It goes right along with my dissertation, which was on that topic. And, that one right now we're looking at 2026 for an opening. So it's still a couple of years away, but, that one, it will be, imagine a model about 40 feet by 50 feet. With the people being under an inch, so about 18,000 people that are under an inch tall, that gives you kind of the scale of the city. And it's just a massive, massive undertaking. 40,000 plants that have to be designed and handmade, or however we're going to do it. But they have to be plants that were growing in Israel at the time. They can't be you can't just make like a little shrub. Well, that's one from North America. It's got to be the species that's from Israel at the time. So everything has to be as accurate as possible. And it's just watching the team put those things together right now is really, really exciting.
That's incredible. How much now? I know you. How does the research? What does doing the research for that look like?
So one of the interesting things, like if people go to Israel today and they were to walk around Jerusalem, one of the things that happens is you think, "Oh, I'm walking where Jesus walked." And in a few places, that's true. But most of the time, you're 30, maybe 40 feet above the street level that he was on when he was there in the first century. Mm. And you're on top of, you know, some of the valleys have been smoothed out a little bit or filled in by some of the rubble and debris from the times where it was conquered. And so the city is very different today. Even the walls, like when you go into the old city, those are not where the walls were for the most part in the first century. Those are 16th century walls built by Suleiman the Great. So there's so many things that are completely different, and people think, "Oh, I'm walking where Jesus walked." And yet a lot of times they're just following traditions that were invented during the Crusader period, and they're not even accurate. And so what we're doing is looking at excavation reports, which is a relatively new thing, because the Jerusalem, there's only certain areas where you're allowed to dig. You know, most of it's in the Jewish quarter. If somebody happened to start digging in the Muslim quarter or in certain places in the Christian quarter, well, you might spark World War III. So probably don't do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And so a lot of the excavation, the archaeology is pretty new. So that huge model that's in Israel right now at the Israel Museum, that was built in the 1960s before the Jews even had access to the city. And so there's a lot of things in there that aren't 100% accurate. And they know that. And they've told us, well, you can correct those things in your model. So it involves reading those excavation reports, looking at everything from the first century possible, figuring out where, you know, maybe what's the ritzy area of town. Here we find the palatial mansion. Here's where we find like a priestly home versus maybe what's a little more lower class, you know, a little poorer area of town. You don't have archaeology for everything because they can't dig everywhere, but you can make educated guesses based on the things that we do have.
That's exciting. So see, you crushed people's dreams for knowing that you weren't really technically walking on place, but then you give them hope. So I love it, because then you're going to correct it.
That's right. And there are places you can do it. There are a few places you can go right to where, yeah, he probably stood right at that spot or very close to that spot. But many places you're walking well above where he was.
Awesome. So mental note for myself, check with you before the family goes to Jerusalem so I can get an accurate place of where we need to stand.
That's right.
That's exciting. How many times have you been to Jerusalem?
So I went, my first time went back in 2017, and then our team went back there in 2022. We spent, the first time I was there for 6 days, the last time I was 8 days in Jerusalem, and then another 8 days in the rest of the country. And my wife and I were supposed to be there back in December this past year, but obviously with everything that happened from October 7th onward, that delayed or postponed that trip, unfortunately. But, you know, for me, it was just it's a frustration, it's an inconvenience, but sadly, you know, all that's going on there, the loss of life and people kidnapped and everything else is far worse than, you know, a delay or a frustration for me. So I try to pray for people over there regularly.
Yes. Praying for Israel, praying for Jerusalem, praying for all of it. Yes. It's funny. Actually at church this past Sunday, our pastor said, listen, we don't get into politics. We do Bible. And the Bible says to pray for Jerusalem. We pray for Israel. And so he's like, listen, this is where we go. So we praying. He made it. And he's like, stay around long enough. I'll offend you more. Don't worry. If you're offended now, wait a little bit longer. Stay around some more. I'll offend you more. I'll get to everybody. He's like, I'm an equal opportunist here.
That's right. Well, and also pray for people in Gaza and everywhere else.
Yes.
That's not to say don't pray for it. Yeah, pray for people in Israel. Absolutely. The Bible does talk about pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And absolutely, we should be, you know, praying for everybody and sharing the gospel with everyone.
Yes, that's exciting. And by the way, shout out to your team also for doing everything, all the work that you guys are putting into it, all the travels you're going to be doing. That's exciting and a lot of work. So shout out to your team as well.
Yeah, I'm like I mentioned before, I love being part of a team that wants to give God, and that means being as accurate as possible in everything that we do. With all of the exhibits, we try to make them as historically accurate as possible, as scientifically accurate. And, you know, when we opened the Ark Encounter on July 7th, 2016, opening day, I got to give a tour to 21 atheist and agnostic protesters. So that's what I got to do on opening day. And, you know, I didn't expect any of them to drop to their knees and, you know, start believing in God at that point. That's not what I was expecting. But as I gave them the tour and we had, you know, good conversations, I asked what they thought of it. And they were really blown away by the quality of the ark itself, the construction, the craftsmanship, and also the exhibits. Now, of course, they didn't agree with what we were teaching, but they couldn't knock the quality. And it's because we really want to give the Lord our best in everything that we do. And whether that means my writing, you know, I don't want to just write something and publish it. I want to go through editors so that it's as good as possible, or our artists and our researchers. Everything should be as good as possible because we're doing it for the Lord.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited to go to Kentucky. I keep telling y'all, Empower listeners, we're all going to Kentucky. Let's all go. That's right.
Come on down. We got room for you.
Listen, I am so excited. It was so funny when I told the day that I found out about the Ark Encounter in the Creation Museum, because I was doing the book and I'm a stickler on my books. And so I ran to the house and I told the kids, I'm like, you guys, we're going to Kentucky. And they all looked at me. They're like, my husband was like, Bab, what's going on? And the kids are like, Mom, Kentucky? What's in Kentucky? Because I'm from an island. So they're expecting we're going to go to Guam or we're going to go to another island. I was like, nope, I want to go to Kentucky. And they're like, okay, we know, Mom, there's something going on. I was like, look at these pictures. And I was showing them the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum, the Garden of Eden that, you know, you have photos of. Mm-hmm. And they were like, that's cool. They're so excited.
Yeah, they both really do help bring the Bible to life. And when people go through the Ark, I often ask them, you know, what was your favorite thing? And they always say the writing. No, they don't. I wish they would say that.
You're like, they always say the writing. Of course. Not the 510 foot long build, but that's, you know.
Right. Most of the time, that's what people say, like the whole thing, just seeing it in person. Because you can kind of imagine, okay, it's longer than a football field. And in your mind, you can start to figure out the distance. But when you stand before it and you see just how massive that thing is, and when you go inside and kind of experience it, then it really helps the biblical account become real. And our team has tried to think through everything when we were doing it. Like, how could they get, how could they have enough food for the animals? How many animals do they need to have? We went through all of that. How could they get fresh water? How did they get fresh air? How did they get rid of the waste and all of those things that most people never even kind of consider? Mm-hmm. That's all part of the exhibits. And even a lot of the skeptical questions that we knew people were going to ask. When I was giving that tour to the atheist and agnostic protesters, like, well, how did they do this? And I said, you know, that's a good question. We have a sign right here talking about it, because we knew they were going to be talking about that. So we wanted to address those issues.
That is incredible.
But ultimately, even more important than that is making sure the gospel is clearly presented at the Ark in multiple places, because we want, our goal as a ministry is not to see atheists become creationists. We want them to know who their creator is. And it's not just atheists, anybody. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to know who their creator is, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Yep. So excited. So excited. Can't even say it enough. I'm so excited.
Now you know what it's like for me to go to work each day. That's how I feel all the time.
Man, I'm like, Mr. Kenham, you hiring? Listen, I own my own business, but listen, we can partner something, because this is awesome. But that's really what it is about. It's about God's word accurately and being spread. And I don't have my doctorate in biblical studies, but I'm a big believer in, I don't think that there is anyone on the entire world that will ever fully understand the Bible the way that God intended. Like,
I used to tell my students when I was a teacher, I said, I think when we come before the Lord, every one of us is going to do something like this. Like, oh, that makes sense now. It's going to be about different issues. And some of us are going to have flatter heads than others from the number of times we have to do that. But we are limited in our understanding. We're limited in our experiences, or tainted maybe by our experiences. We interpret things certain ways because of those things, because of our knowledge. And we reach different conclusions sometimes. But if we can unite on the gospel itself and, you know, who Jesus is and what he did, you know, we should unite there. And then those other matters that can be very important issues, we can debate those things, but do it in a spirit of gentleness and respect.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It all comes back to love. I tell everybody, I'm like, listen, you can have anything and everything, but like the Bible says, if you have all of these things without love, it's no point.
That's exactly right. And there's times where we're accused of being unloving. And I think what happens is, you know, our people are passionate about what we do. And sometimes passion can come across as maybe you're too exuberant, or maybe you don't really consider the feelings of somebody else, or you don't, you know, whatever it might be, it reads wrong sometimes, or you just have an opinion about somebody already. So when you read what they write, you think they're saying something that they're really not. But really the heart of the ministry at Answers in Genesis is the gospel. That is why that's why we built the Creation Museum. That's why we built the Ark Encounter. If we're not sharing the gospel, we're not doing our job.
Yes, that is, man, that's exciting. Whew, mm-hmm. I'm excited. So, Dr. Tim Chafee, may you please tell our wonderful listeners how they can get in contact with you if they have questions or the team or AIG, all of it. Just, I'm so excited.
Yeah, absolutely. You can go to answersingenesis.org. That's the website for Answers in Genesis. And you can look on there for answers to your questions that you have. We're probably going to have it on the website. If you can't find it, there's ways to contact us through there. Look for the little link that says contact us and you can send in a question. And I think the same thing is true for the museum and the ARC websites as well. There should be a place on there to contact and we'll get forwarded to the right people and you'll be able to find out that way. And super excited to have you. We've got, it's coming up on the busy season. Actually, busy season already started about a month ago. And it's going to be very busy all the way through September. That's what it's like. But it's exciting. I mean, I love seeing people come through every single day to the museum and through the ARC. And I just gave a tour to a family 2 weeks ago. And that night, one of the younger men who was in the family that they had been praying for years gave his life to the Lord. Aww. And, praise God for that. I'm not saying it was, because of the tour I gave. No, I just got to be a small part of, watering or planting that seed. And God uses all of us. He uses the cleaning personnel to make sure everything looks, brand new and shiny and clean, to the guest services people, to the restaurant workers, to everybody throughout there gets to play a role in showing who God is to this world. And so it's great to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's exciting. And yes, shout out to the entire team from Answers in Genesis, the Ark Encounter, the Creation Museum. And truly, I really do want to give a special shout out to Melanie, too, because without her, this would not have been possible. So shout out to you, Melanie.
Yeah, way to go, Melanie.
I do. I'm like, I have a special place in my heart for Melanie already. I'm like, thank you, Melanie. Thank you. But I couldn't have done this without her.
I think I mentioned earlier, I think I said I really appreciate Ken. It's more than just appreciation. I'm very grateful for all that he's done. And hopefully that didn't come across like, Ken didn't really like it. No, God's used him in such an amazing way in the lives of so many people. And that's exciting.
Yes, that is powerful. And for what it's worth, Mr. Ham, I can see the smile on Dr. Tim's face. I can see it. He was very, very excited, very happy. So yes, there was love, appreciation, all of it. I saw it all there.
So give him a raise. No, just kidding.
I didn't say that. I believe the bit. I didn't say it. I still have to come to the museum. I can't get in trouble before I get there.
That's right.
Oh, well, Dr. Tim, I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being a special guest. You are incredible. The work that you guys are doing, it is incredible and life-changing, and I will continue to pray. I am excited to come with my family and see it. I'm going to be like, are you available to give us a tour? I'm excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, be sure you let me know when you're coming, and I'd love to, if I can't give a tour, at least meet up with you in person. It would be great to meet your family and give you some pointers on people will say, can I do it all in a day? You probably should not try it unless that's the only way you could possibly get there. Plan at least one whole day for each place, one for the Ark and one for the museum. And we do have tickets where you can do like a multiple times over the course of a week. So if there's other things in the Cincinnati area that you want to visit, you can do that on some of those days as well. So check out the different ticket packages. But definitely come on down and we'd love to have you. So thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on to be able to talk about what I love talking about.
I can tell. And listen, it exudes you. It's exciting. It's wonderful to see your passion for it. It's wonderful to see your passion for God and making sure that you give your best. It's wonderful. It's really nice. And listen, thank again, you. Shout out to your wife and family, because I know, listen, as a wife, I know that's where you support. That's the helpmate. That's where it comes. So
she keeps me out of so much trouble. You know, when I write something, I make sure she reads it first. And there will be times where she's, you need to change this word. And I think, why? And she's like, because this is how people will understand it. Like, oh, thank you.
See?
she's kept me out of a lot of trouble. And not because it was something that was ill-intentioned. It just would have come across the wrong way. And so I'm very grateful, in many ways, for her. So
yeah. Oh, that's awesome. See, shout out, wife power. Yes, that's right. Love it. That's exciting. Well, thank you again so much. I am honored. All the Empower Talk listeners are honored. This is exciting. And you know what? I'm going to make it a plan to hopefully have you back after I have visited the museum.
Okay.
And hopefully the Jerusalem Project. We'll see how far you've been going, how your trip was. I'm excited.
Well, yeah, if you come before we open the Jerusalem model, let me know and we'll see if we can get you behind the scenes tour for the design studio and you can check it out.
Yeah, we're going to record. I'm so excited. Okay, sorry. I got to contain. I forget. This is video and audio, so I can't do my praise shout dance. I can't do it right now. I got to compose. Okay. Well, I am excited. So thank you again so much, everyone. This is Dr. Tim Chafee. I know I said that correctly because I've been practicing. Yes. Again, I appreciate you. I am honored. Listeners, you are amazing. And thank you again. Made it this far. We appreciate you. Stay blessed. Stay encouraged. Go empower someone. Huge shout out to you for listening. If you enjoyed today's empowering talk, please follow, subscribe, or head over to cphughes.com to make a donation. Now remember, you're unique, so shine your unique light and do your part. Go empower someone.